You're listening to a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, visit streamschurch.org.
So we're in a series called Stop It. I like this series a lot because it's actually talking and focusing about specific things that Jesus taught in the Gospels. We talked about stop fearing, stop worrying. Last week, stop sinning. So if you want to catch up, you can go to streamschurch.org and you'll see all the things we've been talking about. But when Jesus showed up on this planet, he announced he was establishing a brand new relationship with mankind. He was establishing a new institution he was going to call the church. And then he said, I'm giving you a new command. The command is this, that you should love one another as I have loved you. So he made a lot of claims about himself. And then he was crucified. And from the standpoint of his earliest followers, that was game over. His dying, all his teaching, all his miracles, declarations meant nothing. But when he rose from the dead, everything changed. And so all of a sudden, everything he taught, everything he commanded, all of his life had a great big exclamation point on it. And so then he gathered everybody and said this, now I want you to go into all the world and all the things I've commanded you and all the things I've taught to you, I want you to go and teach everybody, Gentiles, Jews alike, and teach them this, teach them not to fear, teach them not to worry, and teach them not to sin, and all the things we've been talking about. And when they went out, there was no Bible, there was no written gospels, there was no teachings of Paul. They just went out with just a couple things, the things that Jesus taught, and a firsthand knowledge that he rose from the dead. And so we've been talking about this, what would life be like if all we had were the teachings of Jesus and a firsthand knowledge that he rose from the dead, or we knew somebody that was there and saw him personally. Would we live in fear? Would we worry about things? Would we let sin control our lives? And all the studies, all the teaching of Jesus come alive when he rose from the dead and means so much more. So we're talking about in this series about five stop it commands that Jesus gave. And today is going to be one of the most important because it's the most stop it command that is often quoted. It's quoted by everybody. It's quoted by people who don't know Jesus. It may be the only Bible verse they know. It's the one command that people who don't follow Jesus throw back into the face of people who do follow Jesus. Anyone got a guess what it is? Do not judge. Very good. Say it loud and proud. Do not judge. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever heard that. Here's another way of saying it. Yeah. Here's another way of saying that. Thou shalt not size me up and write me off. That's what it means to judge. We think this, people think this, thou shalt not hear me say something, see me wear something, find out who I've been dating or what's on my body, and thou shalt not have a bad attitude towards me. Thou shalt not size me up and write me off. And so this is the one of the most popular things that Jesus ever said. In fact, you may not even know that Jesus said it. They don't even know where it's at, but they know this, you're supposed to not judge. In fact, there are people out there that know this verse so much. Now, here's a question to try to get our heads going this direction. Why do you think it is that religious people tend to be so judgmental? Christians can be judgmental. The early Jews during Jesus' times were very judgmental. We live in a land where we live in a time where Muslims are judgmental about people. And we see all these people. And it seems like regardless of the religion, religious people can get there pretty quickly. Why are we so judgmental? So I've come up with a couple reasons that I think we are judgmental. I think we judge sometimes because we're jealous. Sinners are having way more fun than we are. and it makes us jealous and it makes us mad. As Craig Groeschel says, if you're sinning and not having fun, you're doing it wrong. And so we're looking at these people that are having fun and it makes us mad. So if I can't do it, you shouldn't do it. And not only that, it seems like they're getting away with it. And it makes me so mad and judgmental. And there are some Christians, which bothers me, some Christians are way too happy that there's actually a hell. And I mean, they're just way, you know, that'll teach those happy sinners. One day, and in 2011, Rob Bell wrote a book called Love Wins, and I don't know if you remember, it was such a big controversy, because in this book basically said that Jesus loves everybody, and at some time, love will win, and everybody will come to salvation, and he makes the case there's no hell. So when a book comes out and says all these things, of course, they come to pastors like, did you read it? What do you think? And so I love Andy Stanley's reply to this. Andy Stanley's a pastor in Atlanta, Georgia. So Andy Stanley came up with a reply to this, and this is what he said. When people say, did you read the book? What do you think? And he say, I hope he's right, don't you? Don't you hope there's not a hell? What are you going to say to that? So his dad, who's very famous, Charles Stanley, great Bible teacher, comes to him. He said, Andy, did you hear about that young guy who wrote that book, that there's no hell? And Andy goes, yeah, I read it. He goes, what do you think? And he goes, well, Dad, I hope he's right, don't you? I hope there's not a hell. And to which he said his dad first looked at him in a very like, you heretic. And then his dad smiled and said, you know what? I think we should all hope that he's right, that there's no hell. We're way too happy. Sometimes people are way too happy that there's punishment. And there's another reason we're so judgmental, is because we're self-righteous. And self-righteousness is ignorant and it's arrogant. It's ignorant because we dumb down the holiness of God. The things that we can't attain or we don't do very well, we'll dumb that down. And it's arrogant because we'll elevate the parts of righteousness that we get done really well. And so you'll find a self-righteous person, they'll skip over, they'll forget, they'll dismiss the commands that cause them difficulties. But man, the things that they can nail, they heighten and they elevate. And that's what self-righteous people do. And you've seen it. Because they're so holy about certain things, right? You do that and you do that, but there's other things that they just miss. And many times it has to do with attitudes of the heart. And that's why it's ignorant, and that's why it's arrogant. And the problem is self-righteous people are very seldom self-aware. And so we have jealous Christians that are way too happy that there's a hell. We have self-righteous people that are devaluing everybody. We have people who don't know Jesus quoting the Bible verse, do not judge me. And so today's stop it, judging, is really important, because do not judge was just the beginning of the conversation that Jesus had. We're going to look at it today with his disciples. So it's Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 1. This is really interesting stuff, and it's really important stuff. He starts off with the famous thing, verse 1, do not judge. And what we think when he says that, if you've ever thought that, it says, do not criticize me. Don't confront me about anything that I do. Do not judge me, period. Do not compare me to anyone, to my brother, to other employees, to other believers, period. Do not judge, except there's a problem with that. Jesus says do not judge, but he doesn't use a period there. He uses a comma. And so do not judge is an incomplete sentence according to Jesus. Here it goes, ready? Do not judge, comma, or you too will be judged. So the next time you feel judged by somebody, don't say, you shouldn't judge or thou should not judge. Say, better not judge, because you're going to be judged too. Isn't that much better? It's a little better throwback in their face, right? Don't be judging me, because you're going to get judged too. So he elaborates with what that means. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measure to you. And so the judgment that you use, it will be judged upon you. And the measure that you use, you will be measured. So allow me to summarize this. Judge others as you would want them to judge you. Don't judge, but if you're going to judge, know this. Or let me put this. If you have to judge, know this. You will be judged with the same criteria. In reality, there are people that make judgments all the time. They have to. Anybody want to give a shot at who that is? Judges, right. That's really smart. Whoever said that, right? They have to judge all the time. Pastors. I have to make judgments. People come in there. Here's our marriage. I'm like, well, maybe you're... Let's go talk in the other room, you and I. Who we hire, who we don't. The safety of this congregation. There are things I have to make judgments about all the time. Leaders in our church. Great parents. Make judgments. When that hooligan comes over to date your daughter. And they're like, don't judge. No, I'm going to judge. Is this good? Is this worthy? I make those judgments. Teachers, they have to do things. Principals at schools. You see, people judge. We have to judge. There are moments we have to judge. But just know this, in the same way that you judge, right, you will be judged. So when we go before the judge, or we go before the principal, or we stand before those parents, how do we want to be judged? We want to be judged with what? With mercy. We say, when you judge me, I want you to take into account the family I was raised in, the way that I've been treated, all my insecurities. I want you to take into account the totality of my life situation right now. I want you to know when you judge me that when I was young, kids made fun of me and called me hemlloids instead of Lloyd. That was my nickname. Now see, don't you feel a lot more compassion towards me? All through 4th, 5th, and 6th grade. Hey, hemlloids. And now they have that Ninjago movie that came out last year, right? And the main character's name is Lloyd. Anybody see the Ninjago movie? Yeah, Lego thing. And L-L-O-I-D, as bad as that, and so is he, Bulloid. I mean, so kids are literally, that's the cheer in that movie. So they're like coming up to me and saying that, right? I want you to take into account the severity of my life right now. If you're going to judge me, right, you got to take into account all of me. Not just one bad behavior, not just that one tattoo, or one bad hair dye, or the one time I exploded. If you're going to judge me, you got to take my whole life into account. And so before you size me up and write me off, you need the whole picture. And then I want mercy. That's what I want. So then Jesus continues, right? Same as you measure, be measured to you. And he says in verse 3, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? I tell you why you do it. There's a couple reasons why. First, it's more fun to look at the sawdust in your eye than the plank in my eye. In fact, your issue, the things that are messed up in your life, make me feel better about me. I do it because it's easier and it makes me feel better, right? And second, I didn't realize I had a plank in my eye, right? Because I can see the sawdust in her eye, and I see the sawdust in his eye, and I can see what's wrong with you, and it's easy to see that. It's obvious to everybody. We all see it. And there's this little bitty speck in the corner of your eye, and it's driving me crazy. Because I can see it. It's like when you're talking to somebody, they got a little piece of food in the teeth, right? And they're saying something, and you go, I don't hear what you're saying, because I'm trying to figure out what you had for lunch. That's all I'm doing right now. And you got this little thing in your tooth, and I got a double In-N-Out burger stuffed in my face. But I can see your stuff, because I'm obsessing about it. And so Jesus said, why can you see that and you don't see others? And here it says, verse 4, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. And here's the heart of the issue when we're talking about all this stuff. Jesus is saying, how dare you point out what's wrong with someone else when you have something wrong with yourself and you're not doing anything about it? That's the issue. And then he punctuates this with, you hypocrite. And Jesus defines a hypocrite as this, somebody that's more fascinated by what's wrong with you than what's wrong with themselves. Somebody that's more interested and preoccupied with fixing others than they are about fixing themselves. And I see it's people who see what's wrong with everybody else but refuse to face up with what's wrong with themselves. It's harsh, but it's true. It's hypocritical. And Jesus could have just said this in the beginning, mind your own business. Today's lesson is, mind your own business. Let her deal with her stuff because she knows her story and her background and her insecurities, and you deal with your stuff because you know your background. Period. Everybody mind your own business. Amen. Let's pray. Lunch is waiting. But wait. There's more. Because again, Jesus does something. He doesn't put a comma. He doesn't put an exclamation point. He puts what? I mean, he doesn't put a period. He puts a comma there. And here, the lesson just beginning to start. You hypocrite, comma. First, take the plank out of your own eye. Step number one. Take the plank out of your own eye. When I see how messed up you are, it reminds me of how messed up I can be, or I am. So because of your sin, when I see the sawdust, I should examine my sin and deal with my sin, and therefore I'm better off because of it. So the fact that you're such a mess helps me become less of a mess and I become a better person. And today I want to publicly thank a couple people for doing that for me. Jeremiah, thank you. You're such a mess. That I just want to thank you publicly, right? That it reminds me that I'm a mess and I'm a better person. You're welcome. Thank you very much. Okay. I'm sure I do the same thing for you, right? That's a great lesson. So this is what Jesus is teaching. Next slide, please. When I'm tempted to pass judgment upon thee, I should stop and check for sin in me. We're going to say that together, ready? When I'm tempted to pass judgment upon thee, I should stop and check for sin in me. When I'm tempted to say, did you see that? Did you look who they were a part of? Did you see what they wrote down? Have you checked out their Facebook page and all those photos? When I'm tempted to do that, I should go back to my Facebook page and look at my photos and remember what I've said and remember what I've done and deal with my issues. I'm going to examine me, and consequently, I will become a better person. So that's first. That's the first step. So if Jesus said that's step one, first, right, it begs the question, what's second? If removing the plank from my eye is first, what is second? And what is second is the foundation of Christianity. It is one of my passions. And I'm going to be honest, it's one of the things that differentiates our church from many of the other churches around. So if you look at your mess and decide, I'm not going to judge you and write you off. Instead, I'm going to look in the mirror. I'm going to deal with my issues. I'm going to deal with my mess. And I become a better person. And if you think that's the end, you've missed the very heart of Jesus Christ. If you think that's it. The second part is the main part. Here it is. First, take the plank out of your own eye. And then, second, you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Following Jesus never ends in what's in it for me. Never. Following Jesus at the end of the day is all about leveraging about what God has done in my life, the miracles and the power and how he has set me free for the sake of other people. So I can replicate what God has done in me. That is the epicenter of the teaching of Jesus. It says, love one another as I've loved you. If you think for a minute the end of the teaching is just so you can get things right, I've dealt with my plank, I'm good, you're wrong. You've missed the whole passion of this. And so the reason I removed the plank from my eye is so that I can see clearly enough to help you remove the dust from your eye. The problem with me minding my own business is that it does nothing for the person whose business needs to be minding. This isn't simply about leaving people alone, about tending to your own business. And it's certainly not about becoming a better person on behalf of other people. This isn't about leaving people alone. It's not becoming just a better person. This is about, it's about coming to a place where you're at the place where you can appropriately approach other people to help them. You say, but wait. That is so judgmental. And Jesus says, no, it's not. Jesus commands us to take the plank out of our eye simply so that we can help other people with the specks in their eyes. And that is not judgment. That is obedience. And that is love. This is really important. Judge not does not mean care not. Judge not does not mean act not. Judge not does not mean react not. It does not mean I'm going to mind my own business. Because love forbids me to size you up and write you off, but love also forbids me to size you up and walk away. That's not judgmental, that is love. And when I think about this and this teaching, what Jesus is trying to say about judging and who we're supposed to be, I sort of think of three different people, and I want you to sort of process with me. Group one is, you initially size up people and you write them off too quickly. It's the thing that Jesus despised the most. It drove him crazy. It caused him to get emotional in life. Self-righteous people who dumb down the holiness of God for their own sake and they elevate their own holiness. It's ignorant and it's arrogant. And probably at one time in our life, every one of us had those thinkings and those thoughts about other people. who didn't behave like us, who didn't dress like us, who didn't act like us. And you might know the Bible and you're very religious, and maybe you're older and you've been there and you've done that and you have conquered all the things that you've conquered in your life, and you can't understand why they can't get over it. And you can understand where people continue to do things that impact their life negatively when it doesn't bother you. And so we tend to size them up, but we tend to write them off. And if that's you, you need to repent. Let me say it another way. If the sins of others don't break your heart, it's probably because your heart has never truly been broken over your own sin. Because sin broke our Savior's heart. And sin should also break his followers' heart as well. Aren't you glad you came to church today? There's a second group that I probably represent here today. You have the tendency to size people up and you walk away. I'm so grateful, God, except for the grace of God, there go I. And it really breaks my heart that guy at work, my neighbor, my friend, my son-in-law, it breaks my heart, God. I just want to lift them up to you and ask you to do something to change their life today. I'm so grateful you did it for me, but there's no way I'm going to speak to them. That's sizing them up, and that's walking away. Saying it's none of my business is not true. It is your business. Jesus said it is your business. Confronting people about their issues is not insensitive. It's what love requires. See, you can see clearly now because the plank is gone. Right? Should I go for it? Yeah. You know, I can see. You can sing it if you want to. You don't have to walk up and say, hey, I see this. You can go, I can see clearly now the plank is gone. I can see all the sawdust in your eyes. You're really angry because you've got issues. It's going to be a bright. No. I'll be here all week. Thank you. And God has done something very powerful in your life. So now you can clearly see what sin is doing to her. And what sin is doing to him. And what these bad habits are reaping. You can see it because you've been there and you maybe even done it. And now it's your business to confront, to approach in love, to deal with difficult situations. It's what love requires. Because love doesn't size somebody up and then walk away. If that's the case, you don't need to repent, you need to confront. And right now as I'm talking, there's probably somebody that's coming to your mind. And trust the Holy Spirit about that. In the ministry, I've confronted all kinds of people about all kinds of stuff. It's sort of what I do. And I've heard this often. PL, that is none of your business. Unfortunately, it is my business, because you're my brother or you're my sister, and it's the job of brothers and sisters to help brothers and sisters. You need to confront. And there's probably a third group here. You've been sized up, but you refuse to listen. Someone's come to you about something in your life, and you wrote them off as being judgmental, being harsh. How dare you? It's none of your business. And they've said something like this. Well, honey, hey, bro, a friend, I'm not judging you. I'm trying to help you. And you don't budge. Mind your own business. You have no right to judge me. But in your heart, something's telling you that they're right. And in your heart, something's telling you that they're onto something. And something needs to change. Listen to me, please. Listen to me. Defensiveness ensures that your past will continue to show up in your future. It's just cyclical, over and over again. So this is what I've seen so many times. So what you do is you use their method of delivery against them. You find a way to leverage or twist the truth, and you say, you know what? They did it wrong. They said these words. And here's what I want to say. This is the truth. Confrontation is always awkward. Nobody gets it right. And you can practice and you can prepare and you can pray. But when it comes to the situation, you know what? There's something you'll say wrong, or some intonation of your voice that was incorrect, or you'll use the wrong word. And what you've done as a way of deflection is you use their imperfection or the way they approach you as a way to disregard their information, as an excuse, a way out. Happens to me all the time. You know, one word or one sentence or one voice inflection that I did wrong or one thing out of 10 that got wrong, and all of a sudden everything gets tossed out of the window. And you're really good at deflection. So you tell a friend, you won't believe what they said to me. They said that, and you'll get a friend who doesn't like it and go, oh my gosh, he said that about you? Oh yeah. So here's a $1 million question. Forget about delivery. Is it true? Is what they said true? Take that to God. Take it to the Holy Spirit. Pray about it. Regardless of the method, is it true? And if it is, and you use their imperfect delivery as a way to deflect, it will ensure that your past continues to happen in your future. And they took the risk to love you because Jesus told them to love you. And you need to listen. And that's the list. So now, intense message. I'm going to ask you to do something that's really awkward. And it probably won't be fun. Not right now. In a minute, we're going to stand. Then after we stand, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand with the group that you identify with the most today. I know you could have went to another church. They don't do this. It's like, I knew it! I'm going to ask you just to say, you know what? I tend to size people up and write them off too quickly. I don't give them a chance because of something I see, something they said. And if your tendency is to think that way, you know, maybe you're over 40. When I was your age. When you raise your hand, it's going to say, I recognize this in me, and today I repent. I just need to repent. And if your tendency is to think, I feel sorry for her.
This has been a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit streamschurch.org.
Today, if I raise your hand, you're overcoming timidity, and you're saying, I'm gonna conflict. I'm going to talk to them because I love them. And then the third group, maybe you're kind of a mess today, and somebody's been trying to speak truth to you, and you have written them off. And by raising your hand today, it's a great first step. You're saying, I'm gonna listen to them. I'm going to start by listening today. So I'm going to have the worship team come up. All right, so let's stand. Everybody ready? Uncross the arms. Don't get all defensive on me right now. Shake out the arms a little bit. Get them ready. A little stretch here, a little stretch there. Okay. Anybody here say, you know what? I tend to size people up and write them off too quickly. Anybody feel like that? Thank you for being honest. How about group two? You say, you know what? I tend to size people up and I tend to walk away. I don't confront. Now, I just want you to think, I'm looking around this room, can you imagine how many lives would be changed if we all took that step today? I would say close to 50 to 100. Marriages. I'm just trying to get us to think about that, right? And this one may be tough, but you're saying, man, I'm a mess, and I need to listen. Anybody here like that? Okay, some brave souls out there. So, Father, today we come to you. We know you loved us so much that you gave your only son. He would die for us so that our sins would be forgiven. But we now know that we are a community of faith. We are a group of people that choose to love each other. So we will not write each other off, but we will not walk away either. We will, when your spirit speaks to us, we'll go forward and speak. So help us. Give us courage, Father, in the name of Jesus. Give us mercy in the name of Jesus. Give us grace in the name of Jesus to extend to all people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You're listening to a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, visit streamschurch.org.